Welcome to the Inside Texas Football Postgame Show, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. We're in a great mood. That was very awesome. I'm sure we're going to have a very positive chat. Texas loses to Georgia in a – all losses are frustrating, but that one had some unique angles of frustration. So let's just commiserate in the chat. How are you guys feeling? Eric kind of goes the opposite. He seems to – it's kind of freed his soul a little bit. How are you doing?
Mark of a winner. Eric cools down when things get hot.
Eric knows we're winning the national championship. So that's
he understands. We lost on purpose for better seeding. It's all in the plan.
That fifth seed. Oh, yeah. Here it comes.
We're not getting the fifth seed.
All right. Great.
No, I tend to be – I actually when shit is at its worst, that's actually when I'm at my best. So, yeah, I mean, the game was frustrating. A lot of it was frustrating. I think my biggest frustration was dealing with people that said Quinn Ewers was not the guy they needed to put in Arch Manning when Quinn had thrown for like 225 yards in the first half. Yep. I'm like, what's going on here? You know, game context matters. Very frustrating game, of course. They've got to score more points when they have these advantages that they create. But, you know, I guess the only reason I would be upset right now is if nobody else can knock out Georgia.
Yeah.
Because I don't want Texas to play Georgia again. I always say, hey, bring them on again. No. Somebody else.
I was not a big fan of the rematch when everybody was like, dude, we'll get Georgia run it back. I was like, are we sure we want to do that?
Is Vanderbilt in the play? Can somebody else knock out Georgia? Because they're going to fall asleep on somebody. As long as Texas doesn't play Georgia again, they're as big of a threat to win the national championship as anybody.
I'll tell you what, there's a strong probability someone will knock out Georgia because
they only
play their best against us. Yeah. And frankly, they only played a half.
Right. Yeah, so everybody's, again, I don't even want to go on Inside Texas right now, except I do. Now, if I had $1, I would go on Inside Texas right now.
If I had $1, I would go on Inside Texas right now and find out the best football and recruiting coverage in the state of Texas. Eric.
Hold on a sec. This is perfect. This is great. Oh my God. Not an Inside Texas. This is not the guy that we would recruit to Inside Texas.
Oh goodness.
Oh man. I feel good about a lot of things. That, you know, the fact that they had a hurt quarterback and then ETN just strolled in. that was bad.
Weird. Yeah.
Dude. That was so bad.
Dude, but that's like, that's kind of the frustration, right? Like you get a second string quarterback, they still win it. Makuba KOs him. Literally, his eyes rolled back in his head on that pick, and then Beck was able to just stroll. I mean, it's – I don't know what to say there, man. We score one touchdown in the red zone. Like, it's just –
No, the touchdown even came out of from outside the red zone on RPO, right?
Exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. And, like, that's kind of just make one guy miss. None of that was, like – you know, demolishing the Georgia defense. So that was just kind of not good. It was not fun.
You know, what would be a good point for this conversation, which would be to say what wasn't the reason that Texas lost, because, you know, let's slay narratives. That's what we should do. That's what we should be good at. I don't think Quinn Ewers is the guy to blame for this game.
We can't run. Right. So I think that's the biggest reason, right? We weren't able to run. That was the emphasis all week in prep, is like, man, if we can just get the run game going, it'll open other stuff. Once again, didn't happen. The defense got weird at a couple times too. Like that, Barron is able to tie it and take it over. I don't know. Like, my thing is, like, I'm not mad at Quinn, but I am mad at the offense. You know, we can't score in the red zone. We're 97th in the country. You know, we got like 8 NFL players. Why can we not score in the red zone? It's weird. You know, well, so it's like there's a part on offense to me.
We went to overtime. One kicker didn't miss. The other kicker missed twice. Yeah. When we went to overtime. And we didn't ask Burt to kick a 57-yarder. So that's tough. Special teams, Kirby Smart made a play to win the game. That was a ballsy call.
That was.
We didn't do anything really wrong there.
Can I say something that bothers me on that, though?
Is sure.
Because, you know, In one of the write-ups I had was, you know, I mentioned that the one on Friday morning, they knew that they were going to pull out tricks. They knew that. They scouted that. That's why I actually mentioned it on Friday morning. And if you look at Maurice Blackwell, he's one of the gunners on that, and he's one of the greatest leaders on special teams, pretty much the leader on special teams along with Taft. I don't think Taft is on the same amount of teams as he used to be. He's 100% inside, not paying attention to anything. And I love Maurice Blackwell, but that is a total breakdown on special teams. Because they knew going into that game that Georgia would pull something out like that, and then there was no awareness. So that was, to me, that was the play of the game.
Yeah, I just think you have to have the balls to call that, right? I don't think they scouted Maurice Blackwell specifically and said, oh, this guy's just unaware.
I'm talking about it from the other side, the Texas side.
I agree, but I'm just saying that you have to give credit to Kirby to call that, because that was very ballsy, and he could have cost himself the game very easily and been the goat of all goats, and not in the good way. I mean, like, he would have been laughed at, mocked for that. But he had the wherewithal to call it. Hey, honestly, in this kind of game, especially if you're Georgia, you're playing with house money. And so their thought is, we're going to go win this game. And, you know, it means something to them. And kind of Texas should have played the same way. I mean, if we're going to pick nits, there were some things we did defensively after an incredible effort, by the way. Most of the game was dominating defensively. But we did some things defensively that have shown up before, specifically PK's understanding of game context and game management. I mean, I'm calling out in the chat, hey, if they go five wide again, it's a quarterback draw. You can't play that with an honest box. They went five wide. It was a quarterback draw. We had it in an honest box.
Yeah. Well, we ran it last. Marcel Reed did last week. Like, Marcel Reed was all empty. Every time he was empty, it was 90% QB run. So we also repped that last week too.
The second Stockton was in there, I was like, all right, here's Dylan Gabriel. They're going to run the Dylan Gabriel stuff.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, and it goes back. That's actually like originally like John Elway back in the day. Run it up the gut.
Honestly, with Stockton, they could only do three things. Screen, which they all failed. Single read roll to the tight end, which if you made the tackle, it's 3 yards. If you don't make the tackle, it's 9, which is what happened, right, in the overtime. And then thirdly, he's going to run the quarterback. I mean, that was the three options. And the guy, I mean, he threw for what, 71 yards on, I don't know, 20-something plus attempts. I mean, there's a predictable number of plays, and you've got to play to that and understand the game context that, hey, trying to turn them over, trying to inflict a negative on them has an outsized value, particularly in overtime. Because if you can do that, and really get them behind the sticks, which you saw with him, he's going to turn it over or he's going to get sacked. So that's really unfortunate because the defense played really well for most of the game.
Yeah. If you give up 16 in regulation, I'm not on the defense there. Situationally, it's on the defense, right? They give up draw when we're screaming
59 yards in the first half.
Yeah. I mean, the first half was 260 to 54. That was the disparity. And we were up 6-3. Penalties played a huge role. Some of them were earned. 3 of the 8 are nonsense. They were just absolute nonsense. I mean, the
big problem, you know, if you get a nonsense call, that's fine, but you have to play it the other way too. So I want to see one where I go, well, that was a bullshit call too.
Yeah.
You know, I want to feel a little bit of empathy for a Georgia fan when I see a call. We didn't see any of that. Like, there was not one, you know, when Smail Monden knocked the living crap out of Bolden into like the third level, I was like, are they going to even call it? That's how bad it was. I was curious if they were going to call it. And of course they did, because it was that Bolden.
The Quinn rollout where the late hit, extra step and a half, hands to the face. It's an auto flag in college football.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Whenever you think about it, it's an auto flag. And the ref is literally standing there, and Quinn turns and looks at him and goes, bro.
Yeah, and the bad part about that was it was after the intentional grounding from Beck, where they called on Anthony Hill, where all he did was like guide him down to the ground. He didn't, you know, I mean, it was a clean play.
Yeah, that drive ended up in a field goal. I mean, that hurt us because it canceled out. And as you know, that penalty for Georgia would have been loss of down. So that series is over. But they end up elongating it and extending it, and it ends in points.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Stuff like that, and people say, oh, don't call about the officials. We don't talk about the officials very often. And when we do, more often than not, it's like, we got a lucky break on that call. But it had a tangible effect on holding down margin in the first half. In the second half, Georgia outplayed us. But we all called that. We said Texas has got to get a lead, and then we got to hold on.
And that's been going on for 3 years now of where we have to score in the first half because we're a really bad second half team. And Georgia's the inverse, right?
Yes.
They go the opposite way. Here's my thing. I see it in the chat talking about Quinn. I'm not running interference for Quinn like people are saying in the chat. Here's my thing. I don't think Quinn's the reason for the loss. Also, but man, I wish Quinn, like, for once was the reason for the win. Like, that's kind of where I get frustrated. It's like, dude, we're at year three and it's constantly like, you know, Quinn technically is not the reason we lost. It's just like, yeah, okay, but it's year three. We're in the red zone several times. Like, come on, man. We got NFL line. We got NFL receivers. We got Helm. Like, why are we not able to get over that hump, right? It's reminiscent of Washington. It's an NFL quarterback, you know, and it feels like most of the conversation is like he game managed well, you know? And so it's like, that's why I get a little frustrated with the Quinn thing is like, dude, like win us a game, you know?
Well, there is a recency bias to our analysis in what we just saw, because the first half, particularly the first quarter, he was throwing dimes down the field. And
but that's a first quarter. Like, that's great. He did that versus Kentucky. And
I got it, but man, you should have converted that to 16, 17 points.
Well, that ball to Golden. Golden made tougher catches throughout the game than that one that in the end zone. Now, I mean, you know, maybe the DB's hands got in front of his line of sight, but man, that has to be converted. That's a touchdown that they needed. You know, Texas just has never made the plays this year. They haven't made it enough where that play is going to put the other team on its heels. And the game complexion changes in your favor. They ended up allowing the game to remain a Georgia-Texas game, SEC game, where the margins were too close. That was, it was all there in the first half, and Quinn played very well in the first half.
How about some big props for Golden and Moore? Because Golden has become our guy down the stretch, the most reliable receiver. Eight catches, 162 yards, got a 50-yarder, several clutch catches at the sticks where he turned it up, right? DeAndre Moore, 9 catches, 114 yards, 1 touchdown, including making Dan Jackson eat turf on that RPO. Just both of those guys played really well. They made multiple clutch plays. Isaiah Bond, if you want to pick out a guy on offense who we really needed in that game and didn't show, it was number 7. I think, you know, I'm questioning whether he's a double agent for Spectre.
He's not. It's a great movie. Man, so many things to dissect about Bond in that movie. He's not healthy. You know, he's just not healthy. That pick that happened in the first quarter where he's looking for the ball, it reminded me of a catcher where there's a pop-up behind him and he just throws off the mask and he's looking for it and then it lands. It lands on his dick and he's like, oh man, what the hell is there the whole time? That's what kind of happened there. I feel like you got a bad roll there.
I will say what I said in our text thread on a comeback route. You got to come back to the ball.
So I agree with that. I definitely agree with that. We've seen that a lot throughout the year with other receivers too. Like, that's an NFL trait that you don't often see with wide receivers come back and attack the ball arms away from their body.
A lot of college receivers do this. And like almost short arm it when the ball is going to be contested. It's like, you need to be running to the ball, extending. Yeah. And
we finally saw all the talk about Bolden throughout August, right? I mean, good Lord, this guy's getting smacked around and still
has heart.
He's a lot of heart. Is there anybody tougher in, that guy should have been a boxer.
Dude, he took the biggest over the middle hit I've seen this season, and there's no way he should not have been concussed.
He's like one of those cars that revs up backwards and then goes the other way. And let him go.
Just goes faster. He had a good return too.
So Quintrevion Weisner, 19 carries, 51 yards, 2.7 yards per carry. No other runner was. Everyone else was negligible. When you factor in sacks, as you do in the college game, 28 carries, 31 yards. We threw for 358. Yeah. And Gunnar Stockton, 12 of 16 for 71 yards, 1 interception, which, God, I just thought Barron might pick six that thing.
Dude, everybody needed, man.
Gilboa couldn't see the tight end or like reacted to him late. I thought Barron was going to cut in and just house it.
Gilboa, I think Gilboa wanted to escort him in. But there's nobody in front of you, dude. Look
backwards. Yeah, look he didn't. Backwards. He couldn't find Lawson Lucky. It was a shame. But and then Georgia ran the ball in the second half. That's a bummer.
Those boundary runs, they were getting really good with those boundary runs. They would get everyone to the strong side and they would be able to cut back. They did well with that. And ETN playing, man, whenever I saw today that ETN, in fact, was going to play, I was like, damn.
He's a good player and he played. He elevates against us. I mean, he was their offensive MVP yet again. And that is getting frustrating. He had 122 yards from scrimmage, two touchdowns, and then that 48-yard run, that was just gave them life. That was like pure oxygen for them.
Yeah, it was a dagger. All right, before we keep going, y'all, let's hear a word from Academy Sports and Outdoors.
This is the start of something fun. The kind that's best had outdoors. Where family gathers. An adventure awaits. The good tidings that make for even better times. And with the right stuff at the right price. The most wonderful time of year happens here. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there.
All right. Let's get to some comments. Let's let the people speak.
For sure. This will be smart.
I'll do it a little less intensely, but this is more of like, where the hell was hell in this game? But where was Helm, man? Was he just like, that's what I was wondering. Once we were in the red zone to win it, I was like, is this where Helm shows up? I guess.
I can tell you where Helm was, unfortunately, blocking quite a bit.
Yeah.
And not blocking very well.
He had one catch, one drop, right? And then he had a very bad beat on a pass protection where his balance and he was leaning and lunging and it was terrible. Like there's no excuse for that. Speaking of Colorado, he's from Colorado.
He is indeed. Cherry Creek. Good tie-in, Eric.
I'm just trying to blame Paul for this.
Yeah, I mean, so one thing that you guys have probably noticed by now, because I've written about it 173 times and talked about it in lives, one of the weaknesses of our play action, particularly out of the pistol when we try to run the ball, is that you are slide protecting and you're guaranteed to get tight ends and running backs matched up on ends and linebackers. And against a lot of teams, we can get away with that. Against Georgia, they got big boy edges and they got big boy linebackers, and you do not get away with that. And so they savage those guys. And that happened a few times. Also, you know, we had a tough game holding up inside a few times. When Georgia's defensive tackles are all fired up and decide they want to play, which is not always, when they decide they want to play, they're a handful, but and it only turns out they like to play against Texas, apparently. So,
yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah, we could have beat them. That's what drives me nuts, man.
That's all good. And that's not what we say. That we're good. They won. I'm saying that
you know, they show up or whatever. It's like, man, we just totally blew that.
Yeah,
it's wild, man. Look at the halftime stats, and you'd realize this edition of the Horns just doesn't have that dog in them. Left too many points out there and failed to adjust in the second half.
Yeah, it's a lack of dogness. That's why we didn't score.
How do you calibrate that? Is it lack of canines?
You have to look at
dogosity on a sliding scale, and our dogosity, our offensive effectiveness and defensive effectiveness were very high, but our dogosity, which leads to points, was very low.
Well, if we still man the argument, why have we struggled in the second half for 3 years?
Do we really want to get into this, Connor? Yeah. This is off-season fare.
We'll do a deep dive on the second half.
Well, look, we've talked about this in the deep dive. Y'all need to go back and look at them. When me and Ian do them, we've called it out pretty directly. But there is a level of play in the first half, and it goes like that through the second.
It's direct. It correlates to second, third, and fourth pretty well.
Yes.
Pretty wild.
Is Paul going to talk about bulldog reproduction again?
Dude, sometimes I'm filming with these guys the intros, I just have no idea where they're going.
I just want to go on the record that I love dogs and I love bulldogs. I think they're super cute. I think they're really neat dogs, like their personality. But they are genetic nightmares, and any bulldog owner knows this. And if you allow them to breed naturally, all bulldog puppies are born by C-section. So within a generation or two, you'd have no more bulldogs as a breed.
And Paul's a utilitarian. So Paul has to sit there and go, what is the actual purpose of a bulldog?
Correct. And so that's why I've always argued to let pandas go extinct.
Exactly. I'm fine with that.
Screw them.
Yeah.
Like, stop being so delicate.
Surviving it. Survivor of death.
That's right. Develop wings, pandas, and fly to better territories.
I'm trying to give us somewhat fair comments here. Because I get it. You guys are frustrated. I'm frustrated as well. But
look, very rarely is it true, because people are like, special teams are a third of the game. They're more like 15% of the game.
Yeah.
Right. Special teams really did swing this game.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did. And some of it's our talent on special teams. You know, Jeff Banks can't coach Kern to average more than 39 yards a punt in a dome. But we probably – I mean, this is baked in the cake. Probably need to grab a punter.
Yeah. So here's the problem that I have with it. And it's my text messages from my real friends are blowing up. The board, of course, is blowing up. Is you can't just fault the coaching, because it's the same coaching that you had the last couple of years. He's one of the best special teams coaches in the country. So when you fault him, it's like it'll get fixed. It's not going to get fixed this year, and that's a problem. But there's no point in bitching about it. It's just
special teams coaches cannot affect kicking. Like your field goal, your place kicker.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I look to special teams coaches for coverage, returns. Our coverage this year has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Returns, spotty. We had a great return in this game. Another Bolden dog effort that was dog in a good way. See, we had some dogness, so we moved up the dog scale. But that short field, not converted to points. Brutal.
Connor, you all right? Connor, are you going to make it?
Connor's really sad.
Connor's new to covering Texas football. Me and Paul are
you guys are so like,
hey, Connor, I had to write about Texas football from 2010 to 2020. So do this 75 more times and then you can feel sad.
We're over here like, whoo,
well, no, I got lucky because I started like covering and not being a fan. It was Sark era, so it's been a lot
Eric of and I have had to write about, like, you know,
Tyrone Swoops and how were the 16 wheeler is gonna work.
Yeah, like how Case McCoy can fix this offense. So it's just
good,
like
it's good to screw up the coin flip, actually.
Yes. It shows confidence. We basically become Politico writers. It's not happening. Well, if it is happening, it's rare. Actually, it's a good thing.
you should actually applaud.
We are doing listicles, I've noticed.
Yeah. Why didn't we see more Arch? He would have been perfect for overtime. Maybe in some red zone stuff, but also Quinn wasn't like – that's so hindsight 2020, because, like, you know, it felt like Quinn had a chance to win it there at the end too. You know,
Quinn, it's kind of the standard. Well, that's why. I mean, that's just the answer. Like, they have so much more built into that package, and I laugh even calling it a package because he's a real quarterback.
Yeah.
It's not like having Alex Orji back there. It's not a package. It's just what you call for him. There's someone a lot more built in to that.
Someone package on Twitter this week, they said they wanted to see the Arch package, not in the red zone. I was like, that's just Arch playing quarterback. You just want to see Arch start. That's what you're saying.
People are now acting like he's freaking Jamel Holloway.
He's just gonna run all over.
He's a wishbone quarterback. It's like he's an athletic quarterback, and next year you'll see that he's an NFL quarterback who can run around.
Yeah.
Next year, guys, I promise.
Uh-oh, we got Stats Bro. Stats Bro showed up.
24-47 with two ints.
Yeah.
I mean, as a Stats Bro.
What was that first interception like?
Yeah.
Bond's got to make a play there.
Yeah. Yeah, Arch was 16 of 25 for 228 at halftime.
Arch?
No, sorry, Quinn. Oh my God. See, I'm already doing it.
It's your now you're
getting away next year's starter.
I promise you that our full focus is on Auburn. I mean Texas. I mean Auburn.
Any good portal kickers?
Jesus Christ, Brent.
If I knew a thing about kickers, man, I would tell you.
Kickers, dude, don't worry about the portal. Go to Inside Texas. We're gonna bomb the portal. They've already there's people lining up left and right.
You can go to Inside Texas right now for $1.
There you go, Paul. Good job.
Homer, any good portal kickers? They're gonna load up on the portal. They're gonna load up.
Let me see. I feel like Georgia is built to beat us. If we can match up against anyone else, we will be fine.
Yeah.
Georgia will have a stupid loss to Indiana or someone ridiculous.
Well, not Indiana, but someone ridiculous. Unfortunately, Georgia's beat built to destroy Indiana. I made a bunch of money on Indiana this year, but I promise you, I didn't bet them against Ohio State because when they reach a certain level of defense, it all falls apart. So, good coach, though.
This is thoughtful. Question for y'all. What is the biggest thing we learned about Texas today?
Not to predict them to win against Georgia.
Yeah.
I think ultimately it's about the friends you make along the way.
Yeah.
I don't feel like we learned. I feel like this is all trends that we've seen. I feel like this
So Texas last week should have beaten the brakes off of A&M, and they did physically, but not on the scoreboard, right? So 17-7.
No.
That was the same first half we just saw. They
and should it's have also the second half of Kentucky where it went just, completely.
They do not give themselves margin for error, no matter how well they or how much they outplay them, and so that's a big problem. Stark's got to figure that out. Georgia's way too good to not create margin.
Bama is to Georgia as Georgia is to Texas until we prove otherwise.
Apparently. Yeah, the offseason narratives are going to be really fun. It's going to
we don't know what the offseason narrative is going to be. Georgia can
You know 1,000% the media is going to start hyping up the can Sark beat Kirby narratives. You know that.
Do you think that Texas can't win the national championship? Would you if Texas played Oregon right now, what would the line be?
I've watched Oregon play once, but probably three?
Yeah. Okay. Oregon minus 2.5, Oregon minus 3. Right.
So as long as Texas doesn't have to play Georgia again, they can win the national championship.
Yeah, I'm saying ESPN media will play up the Kirby Sark drama.
Connor, I know part of your problem. You watch ESPN.
I actually don't. I watch I watch enough clips.
It somehow infiltrates the beard and it gets in your ears.
I get it through Twitter, the funny clips we hear of them.
If you're going to keep anything in your beard, make it brisket.
What does the CFP path look like?
We will play a team in the opening round. They will come to visit us.
Yeah.
And we will beat them, and then we will play the next team.
Del Conte cannot celebrate any harder right now. He wanted another game at home.
The incentives are screwed up. Like, the schools want the home game.
Texas is so happy right now. No, terrific.
Well, yeah. the NIL, just like it's opposed to facilities building, which is what the ADs care about, this is the same. The playoffs are opposed. Playoff seeding is opposed to the AD interest again. So,
yeah.
We have some super chats.
We have some reverse incentivization.
We do. Right. Because Del Conte doesn't want us to have that bye week. Bring everybody to Texas. Lando Show, gun run versus a pistol run. I know Paul agrees.
Yeah. Yes. I don't need to elaborate on that, but yes. And when we do run from the pistol, we're typically more effective. Not today. We only have one play action real pass out of it. So there's some tip offs and keys there. And I thought Georgia did a good job. When they saw the pistol, they brought it because they know even if it's a play action, like they're going to catch the blitz, the slide protection we run guarantees a Georgia edge or linebacker is going to be on a tight end or a running back. And that's not good for us. So, and if you blitz into our run, well, you're going to stop our run because the Georgia, front plays really with active feet, at least when they play us.
Yeah.
Got some more super chats, Connor, or did you have a stroke?
Let's help out the guys crying.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to bring them up, but you guys are going to be like, it's emotional. It's like, yeah, but we got to get some. We got to let this.
No. This is a good one because it bothered me too. This one, right? Oh, never mind. Go for it.
That one?
No, I don't care about that. But that's fine. Yeah. Do we want Oregon
to win? Just very quickly, I don't think we're getting the number five seed, man.
Think we end up going to be?
Probably Penn State. Depends how that game goes. And if it's not Penn State, it'll be Notre Dame. Cool. Lost column bias, y'all.
It's Arch one and done. Not likely. Arch will probably be here 2 years, right?
I think he's going to be here too.
You saw his granddad said he hoped Arch plays 3 years or something on that interview that he just did. That was interesting.
So what I've heard on the street, and this is pretty good information, Inside Texas subscription numbers are correlated to him staying for 2 years.
That is true. And
people don't they don't care about where his draft slot is. They want his readiness. What's his readiness going to be for the NFL? So they don't care if he's going to go number one next year, because he'll go number one the year after that too, but he'll also be more ready. It's all about being ready to hit the ground running.
The Mannings are also weird in that they like to develop him as like a normal human being and not a sociopath.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you guys have not, if you did not read Inside Texas throughout his recruitment, you missed some really good stuff. We built a profile of a guy that's going to stick around for a couple years.
Yeah. The Mannings aren't street agents.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're actually looking they don't want the child celebrity. They don't want who's the little kid that played Webster and never got another gig again.
Emmanuel Lewis, man.
Yeah, Emmanuel Lewis. Whatever happened to him? Yeah, they're trying to find somebody that's going to win Super Bowls. Therefore, he can sit at home at Thanksgiving dinner and look his uncles in the eye.
Yeah,
we need SMU to win to avoid Bama. Do we? I don't know.
What's the point of avoiding Bama?
True, and also by the way, we're actually kind of pretty decently built to face Bama.
Exactly. I mean, so Jalen Milroe would throw for like 24 yards against Texas right now.
He will run for 112, but he's going to throw for about 47 and maybe turn it over twice. And then actually their defense, if you can get to their back end, you can throw the ball on them.
Cool. We got Nick in the background too. We'll bring you on in a second, Nick. And we also got some more super chats. Let's go through a couple more of these real quick. Alrighty.
What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Just had a Bleacher Report show, and people are going crazy right now.
Yes, Quinn Ewers is responsible for it all.
Yeah, that's what people say. I'm like fighting people. I'm like, look, man, it's not Quinn's fault, dude. He had 358 yards passing, dude. Like, the dude had a hell of a game, man. He had that one pass where he had a pick.
But he has to have more clutchness, dude.
You know.
Clutchosity.
Dude, man, I felt like Sark called for a field goal in the first overtime. It's like he didn't call the game to go win the game. I don't know, man. It's kind of frustrating. The defense played well. Defense, man, played outstanding. Texas defense played well. Georgia's, you know, defense played good too, man. But execution, we had drop balls, everything, man.
Dude, Arian Smith for Georgia has got to be one of the most frustrating players of all time for a Georgia fan.
Because even up in my thesaurus. Frustrating is not a synonym for sorry.
Yeah, but it's like even Curb,
I love that guy.
Curb Street was like, "Why are you jumping? Like, why are you jumping, dude?" And dropping the ball whenever you have the announcers like calling you out. All right, thoughts on Sark's play calling at the end of regulation from where you've been? Having Quinn turn his back to the defense in that moment, didn't think it was ideal.
So Paul's going to have a better recollection of this than me, but I think when they got the ball back around 4 minutes and they ran the ball on first down for nothing, that frustrated me. Yes. I'm thinking this is the time to go win the game. You have not, you've passed the Rubicon of where you're going to insert, you're going to assert yourself. We have not taken over the game physically. We're not running the ball. You've got to create space and just get it to receiver. That was a lost down, a wasted down. And once you're behind the sticks against them in that certain point, you're in trouble.
Agreed. Yeah. Whereas the run right before the 2 minute, that was fine. We're trying to murder the clock and we're just trying to make sure this is the last possession of the game. Yep. But situationally getting it with 4 minutes left, I think our field position was not horrible. I mean, it's not like we're on our 10.
Running it first and 10 right into the teeth of the defense. I was like,
dude, you got to have your best play drawn up. And then we followed that, I believe, with a screen. I can't remember.
There was one play where
our fruitless drives are running together in my head.
Yeah, same here, man. I think we ran the ball for minus two, and I think Sark either screened or ran it again for minus three or something, and we were down.
We ran it again.
Yeah, yeah, we ran it again, and we were down third and 15, and that's when Quinn threw the pick, right? I think that's when Quinn threw the pick, right? It was third and 15, and he threw the ball for a pick. Ran it twice in a row, minus two on one play, minus three in the other.
Dang.
I'm pretty sure.
It's a bummer.
Is this true?
You know, it's not a bummer. Bringing up comments during my ad read, Eric. You know, it's not a bummer, guys. Go into Academy Sports and Outdoors. You can shop for the whole family. If you're a procrastinator like me and you don't do your shopping until 5 days before, sometimes even two, you can go to Academy. You can get gifts for everybody. Grandma, granddad, dad, mom, daughter. Shop for the whole family. Outdoor cooking, camping gear, hunting gear, tailgating stuff. We know you guys like that. And even family gathering essentials. So you can shop online at academy.com or in-store. Free one-hour in-store or curbside pickup. And if you don't even want to leave the house, same-day delivery with DoorDash. It is the most wonderful time of the year, and it starts here. Academy Sports and Outdoors. Have fun out there. And I will be doing some of my shopping there, and that sounds very nice and low stress.
Connor, what's a dad mom?
A dad mom is something that I'm trying out.
Hey, I looked it up. Negative run, sack,
yeah, a sack. Yeah, negative run. It was the sack trying to throw a screen, trying to throw a screen to the left, faked out, and then try to throw a screen to the right. And it was just a slow developing play for a sack, and then Quinn gets the interception next.
Well, that screen was killing him last year. Like, that's become like the Sark screen, you know. Washington would run it too. We haven't really seen it that much this year, the double pump. So I get it, like, hey, man, they're not looking for it, but, ugh, man. It's a little sketchy. Honestly, probably better seed, probably draw a better seed in the playoffs, Quentin. Yes, way to look at the bright side. I agree.
Yeah, right. Quentin's always good.
Not to be a stats nerd, but there's a marginal risk in playing any football game. No. you want to play less games, generally speaking, unless you got that five seed and you can go like, you know, SMU Boise,
yeah,
or whatever. That's all good.
Marshall the week after a playing crowd, yeah. this is a good one right here. This Sark, is a good one right here.
That's cold blooded.
Sark playing Quinn. I love these. These are the most online. Nah, bro. They always start with nah. It's crazy. These are the stupidest comments. I appreciate the $1.99, by the way. Sark playing Quinn to save his draft. Do you think that's why Sark playing? This shit is crazy. That is wild, actually. Goodness, thanks for the dollar, though, dude.
You got to laugh at some of that stuff, man. That's
all right. Kicker is the only topic. Thank you, Dean Lacy, for the $20. Kicker is the only topic to discuss. We never should have went to overtime. Game over.
Respectfully, I think this is a pretty good take. Because
Yeah. No, I mean, that should have been you should have given me $1.99 for that instead of $20.
Yeah.
No,
much better than this last dude, this guy.
Eric's talking down his book of business. Yeah, I think, look, we missed – our kicker missed two. Theirs was perfect. And look at the margin of the game. You went to overtime.
And the penalties, well, too, man. And the penalties. Yeah, we make a kick, then we get the false start, move back 5 yards, and miss the kick.
By the way, the one he made – barely.
Barely. See, that's where it's like – that's what sketched me out, because, like, we know he's sketchy. So it's like score. You know, it's like we already knew that he was going to do that. So it's like everything felt predictable, and that's what was kind of frustrating. We got more from Total Archer. He got another one in. And second half play calling is embarrassing.
Couldn't get a rhythm, that's for sure.
Yeah. Kind of a thing.
We couldn't run a ball for nothing.
$99, man. We appreciate you, dude.
Wow, thank you very much.
Yeah. That's kind of like a mob boss. He doesn't even say anything. He just –
hold on a second. That, how is that real?
He just gives it to you.
Isn't that just his comment?
No, that's
real.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes, it's real.
Hey, this guy, that's come crazy. Inside Texas, direct message us about any topic you would like, and we'll tell you.
Yeah. We're going to tell you about all the commits for next year. That's right.
Appreciate you know.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Some of these comments. I can't put them up, but some of them are funny.
A big hundo, baby.
Oh, you can't put up Carrot Top Suck today?
Yeah.
That's,
calling our players like former branch managers.
This is very on brand. We're not even watching the game, but this would be on brand for the first
Penn
quarter,
State.
Right? Penn State would definitely be balling for the first quarter.
Well, Kotelnicki has they're not playing. What are you talking about?
Nah, it's 14-10. 14-10 Oregon.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I thought Kotelnicki would come out with some good stuff. Now it's a question of like how long that can last.
He was fun at Kansas, man. He's a super creative player.
He's an excellent coordinator.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun. When they made that hire, I thought it was a good one. Let's see. Can you talk about Cam Williams' issues? So what? How he had a jump, right? Was that it? Dude, the right side of the line seemed like it was struggling tonight, dude. And shout out, I got to look back, but Goosby didn't sketch me out too much.
Hey, Goosby,
he had a couple issues early on. Goosby, he missed a guy in space that anybody would have.
Mm-hmm. go play tag with Jalen Walker and see how it worked out.
Yeah, it's not going to work out. I saw a couple comments on Inside Texas like, oh, come on now. He's trying to play in space at 6'5", 6'6", 200 or 315 pounds with a very agile defender. He played well overall.
He did.
Dude, just to imagine your first start as the SEC and you got Jalen Walker and like, get in there, dude. Like, that's nuts. But yeah, it seemed the right side of the line we're getting pushed back into the quarterback
a few times. Clemson is working SMU, huh?
Yeah, 21-7.
All right. Well, hey, if you're a Texas fan,
that's
you want SMU to get the sympathy charity bid, certainly. But you know, bring on all comers.
Give them the great story seed for us, please. Give us the wonderful story seed.
Just ignore the fact that SMU played the 75th strength of schedule.
Yeah. It's called football for a reason. You got to land your kicks.
Hey, makes a point.
I've never heard someone made that point, but I like it. What top three plays cost us the game? The punt, defending the punt, right?
Yeah.
We are going to have a BuzzFeed style listicle on this exact question.
Yeah. The golden drop. In my house was mad at me for saying he should have caught it.
He should have caught it. That was a dime by Quinn. You know, people talk about
that Quinn. One worth a dime. Yeah,
dude, that ball was in the bread basket, straight through it. You got to catch that, McDonald.
So I thought the Georgia DB got his hand in there. Did he not?
Nope, he missed it. Nope.
Well, he didn't touch it, but I think he might have obscured the vision. Right?
Is that no? By then the vision was over. He had the cradle the ball.
He had it. He had it.
Tuck your elbows in.
Caught that one.
That would have been
Did you see if like the Georgia guy grabbed his balls or something?
Didn't happen.
That's what I would do.
He had to catch that one, man.
Some of these are funny. They're mean, but they're funny.
Texas fans because, hey, we give some of the guys a hard time, but we do have a great dark sense of humor, even in loss.
Partly because we're in the Georgia Bulldogs locker room right now saying we did it, guys.
That's not right. I don't think Quinn did that.
Yeah, I think that was probably one of those humor jokes I've heard.
That's cold-blooded.
I'm not liking it. I think Quinn played well.
He did. He played well, man.
I thought he did too, but it's still – we're in pain. We need to laugh.
Yeah.
Has anyone – we need to offer Kirby Smart.
This has to be an hour. We've got to be an hour in by now.
Right? No, we're 45, brother.
Eric, you have to stay on.
This is what a loss feels like, baby. We've only had to deal with two all year. So,
have you done any of these, Eric?
No, Eric hasn't done any losses.
Oh, it's always me.
I did.
It's always me and Drew.
Yeah, I think I did the first game.
Did you do the first one? You lost?
I don't know, man. The climate was different. The grass was greener. Everything was different.
Hey, I think we got a super chat, Connor.
Hell yeah.
Paul, why didn't we attack the middle of their defense more? Maybe I'm wrong, but they blitzed a lot with linebackers and the middle was wide open.
So what was open when they did blitz was the middle of the field intermediate balls, which we did hit some crossers. And what was also open was fades outside the hashes or just stop routes outside the hashes, which you saw Golden catch at the line, you know, at the line to make and then turn it up right several times. So I thought Quinn did a great job outside the hashes. I thought we did hit some crossers. We did get some stuff in the middle, but generally speaking, that's been a thing that's been absent from Quinn's game this year. That was a big major strength last year. And it's a big reason his yards per attempt is down. He's not getting those 15 to 20 yard intermediate routes in the middle of the field where the guy actually turns and runs with the ball after the catch. And that's hurt us. I don't know why he's been a little shy on that, but we did hit more of those. Like against Georgia in round one in Austin, we hit none of that. And then this time I do recall some throws he hit in the middle of the field at that intermediate range.
Doesn't it seem like he's getting closer to September with each game? I mean, maybe minutely, but you know, that the first half against A&M, the first half this week, I mean, I think he's getting close.
I think we'd like to see it extend like into the late third quarter,
like a full game. I'd
give anything to see a full game. You know, we could do it. And the Academy would love to see 2-hour show, but we're not there yet.
No.
Academy.
If the run game gets going, we're talking about how good Quinn played in this game.
I mean, the problem with the run game.
Back and forth, though, right? I mean, he's got to throw it. They'll run it. He'll throw it.
I mean, I'm telling you, the Georgia defensive tackles don't play this hard against other teams. And they were a problem, especially Hayden Connor, who played his best game as a Longhorn, arguably, against A&M. He really struggled at the point of attack with those guys. So when you're getting pushed back at the point of attack and you're trying to run either inside or outside zone, but you're going to cut it back because of Georgia's pursuit, dude, there's just nothing there. And it was hard running today. That's why, you know, we needed to make hay while the script shined. Correct. I like to say.
We have to hit those because we just, in the second half, oof. It's penalties, and it's that simple, undisciplined, sadly. Penalties have been an issue all year.
Some of them were undisciplined. Some of it was just Texas playing football, and the guy decided to throw a penalty. So,
yeah, like that roughing the passer. Yeah, I mean, that's phantom roughing the passer call.
That's unconscionable, right? I mean, that's silly.
Yeah, that was stupid.
One of the holds was nonsense.
Yeah, I think that was the golden hold.
That happens on every play. I'm sorry,
it's not a hold.
If you have fit, you're gonna grab the dude's. You're gonna jack him up.
Yeah.
Now the one where Bond grabs outside and grabs his shoulder and spins him around. Yeah, that's a hold.
That's what's tough being an outside running team, man. You end up dragging those flags and
even at the NFL level, watch Shanahan, who's the best at outside zone that's ever been.
It naturally forces the referee.
You're going to get holding penalties, especially when Trent Williams is out, Eric.
Yeah.
Did you see how hard San Francisco competed in the bad weather in Buffalo?
Yeah, it looked like a million bucks, man. Yeah,
they really got after it.
Why didn't we blitz when Beck came back into the game?
Well, they came in for one play.
Yeah, he came in. Well, it's like, I mean, you can run blitz there, but like.
Hold on a second. Now, that was a terrible play.
We were in goal line, and I don't know how they ran right up the middle. I don't. Yeah.
No, that was the worst play of the game because you're like, all right, the guy's not going to throw it.
Right.
He literally is walking with his arm hanging down because he can't do anything with it.
That's his Willis Reed moment.
Yeah. That was the worst play of the game.
Willis Reed moment.
But yeah, his arm was just like he couldn't even it's so brutal. Dude. Yeah.
Oh man, that's his Paul Pierce in the that's his Paul Pierce moment.
Paul Pierce, not after he got stabbed in Boston 15 times.
I don't know the number, but we're 97th in the country. And we didn't score anything in the red zone. So it's going to go down.
They use the expression with a bullet, like you're going up, what's the opposite of that? Like with a torpedo?
Oh, yeah.
So Texas is our red zone percentage was actually quite good early in the year. Yeah, and it's gone down every game.
You know, so I was so excited because that's how you win like the big games, like and can go far. And so I was like, dude, we're like number two in the nation at red zone. I was like, we fixed it from last year. Like
but it's also a weird stat too. That they'll compare a field goal the same as a touchdown, which is, you know, obviously that's way too arbitrary.
Yeah, it's a scoring percentage. Yeah.
So that's not the same. Early in the season, I think. Well, midway they had like 24 touchdowns and 27 trips.
Yeah, and then we played the SEC.
Yeah.
and that's what happened. Like, we played competition. And that's what's frustrating. Because that's – the reality is these numbers, you're not going on a playoff run. It's yikes. You got to be able to finish.
Oh, man.
That Wikipedia comment.
Connor Moffitt. Good. Oh, I mean, sorry about that. Homer, we're not going to play Georgia again. Don't worry about that.
We haven't scored against non-Georgia. That's what I'm saying. Not just Georgia.
I think we're going to see A&M again in the playoffs. So I'm not worried.
The fourth and two to Moore was so good, but looks easy. That was a nice route by Moore.
Very nice.
Great throw, great catch. Like, props to Moore and Golden.
They had great games. We had a lot of drops this game, though. We had a lot of drops.
Clemson is destroying SMU.
Yeah, 21-7, and it just picked the ball off.
Good. My heavens.
Good.
What happened? Yeah, I don't want Bama in the
playoffs. That just goes to show people you can't buy a team through NIL.
Mike Norvell has mixed feelings on that.
NIL.
Hey, shout out.
Lightness
shout out Primetime Dog. Great game, man. Congrats to you guys, man. Get another SEC championship. Shout out.
Yeah, I mean, congrats to Georgia. When you guys turn it on.
They turn it on.
That's a football team. Yeah. Not sure about the offense, but your defense balls.
Your defense is great.
So many. Some super sketchy penalties. Yes, there were.
Couple.
We would have had the ball at the goal line after that golden hold.
Yeah, we were there. You see that Bart Johnson comment?
No.
Oh, yeah. Let me bring it up. This one will make you think.
No reason why Arch Manning wasn't placed at the half to spark the offense. Terrible decision making, hey, coach.
Quinn had 238.
I was nonplussed by those 220 yards passing.
Yeah. Yeah, 238 yards passing in the first half. This game was not on Quinn, folks.
Let me ask you guys a question, smart guys. Did we win the game?
No, we didn't. So again, now I'm rethinking the whole thing. You're right.
So there you go.
You're right. Art should have gone in.
That's it.
I'm getting texts right now from some of my fraternity brothers saying, put Manning in the playoffs. He needs to start. And I'm like, oh, God, come here, guys.
What fraternity is this?
Phi Beta Sigma, man.
All right. You got to bring a better game, Phi Beta Sigma. The Alpha Phi Alphas are giving better commentary right now.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh. They're starting to get mad.
Uh-oh.
Defense just turns it on against Texas.
That's true.
I think he's one of my neighbors.
It's accurate. They do.
Pool hall. Hey, where do you shoot pool? Hey, let me know, man. Hit me up.
Do you shoot pool?
I like to shoot pool.
I'm terrible.
Well, I can see that.
Are you a pool shark?
No, I'm
People
not.
People are asking a lot about. Yeah, I know exactly. Pool sharks. That's how you know if they're sharks, right?
I've never even
played pool before. I have no idea.
Oh, how does this work? Oh, I guess we'll play for money just for fun.
Gunnar Helm, best tight end in football, one target.
It's disconcerting. And the target was on the only successful screen we ran. Middle screen.
Yeah.
Paul Wellington for the win.
Man, well, they played that thing perfectly too.
Yeah.
That was the perfect tempo on it.
Yeah, it was perfect. He had two targets. He dropped one of them, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had two targets. He dropped one, which is very
not Gunnar Helmish.
It's not
Gunnar. I think he had a catch earlier in the game, maybe. Maybe I'm misremembering.
One catch, 11 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It was that screen.
Little delay, middle screen.
That's a beautiful play, too.
All right.
That was the only screen I thought was going to work against Georgia, and it was the only screen that worked against Georgia.
Cannot blame Quinn as much as he pisses me
off. This guy wants his super. I'm sorry. My bad. My bad, Connor. I'm sorry.
I don't think that's possible.
Yeah, it literally takes a month to get to us and then all these things.
No, oh, yeah, YouTube is not in the business of giving up money, unfortunately.
You cannot blame Quinn as much as he pissed me off some games. This game was on him besides a singular interception that cost, 3 points?
Yeah.
He threw two interceptions, correct?
Yeah, the first one was – I wouldn't put that on Quinn.
Boy, Oregon is scoring every time they get the ball, y'all.
21-10 now, right?
Boy. All right.
We need a new head coach, apparently. That's going
to
be fun.
I got to roll. I got to say goodbye to some family.
You got 3 minutes and 45 seconds, man.
No, this is it. I'm tapping out.
All right. Later, dude.
All right, Eric. Yeah.
We'll get him next week.
All right. Let's get through these last groups. Man, hey. The losses, man, is engagement. That's what you get.
Hey, dude. This is the last thing that people want to hear, and this could be famous last words of a fool to get thrown back in my face, but there is no dominant team in college football. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be styles make fights, who plays well that day, game plan, 21-year-olds making or not making great plays. It's open still, and as crazy as it sounds, and as bad as you all feel, we just lost in overtime to a good football team. We are still in contention for the national title.
Yep, lost in overtime in the SEC championship game. Not just any game. This was a great game. It was a great game. So, you know, I would have loved to win the game, but it was a good game. We still got the playoffs ahead of us. We got a chance, man. We got a chance.
From a chat perspective, the losses are more fun than the wins. That is
they true. Are.
They're honestly, it was funny at the beginning of the year when you're steamrolling like UTSA. Those are not very enjoyable because there's nothing to talk about. Like, you're just like, yep, we won by 70. See you guys next week. A little
I'm getting crazy
responses. Yeah,
I'm getting crazy texts right now. Oh man,
it's a lot of fun. He dropped out. Eric can't handle you guys. He doesn't know how to be amongst the people like that. You know, he's in his ivory tower, so he's not used to hearing the wild stuff you guys say after losses.
Me, Homer, and Kelson have had this lockdown.
Yeah.
Nino comes in for the late assist.
Yeah. Me, Paul, and Drew, and Nick, we're in the streets. We're here to talk with you guys.
So why is it Nino's Corner?
That's just my name. I don't know why, man. I named that about 10 years ago. My nickname's Nino, and I just made Nino's Corner. So
that'll do it.
Yeah.
That was a fun stat that we did have more penalty yards than Georgia had in total offense going into the halftime. Yeah.
What was it, 85 penalty yards to 54 yards for them?
Yeah. 80 to 54.
Yeah. That was crazy.
And we lost the game.
Yes.
Crazy. Unreal. Well, and their quarterback went out after that, and we played a second string quarterback. It's like,
when Carson Beck went out, I was like, we got this. I was like, I hate to win it like this, but I take the
to win. I actually felt worse about that because then you go into YOLO ball, man.
Yeah.
I just made the mistake of jumping on Twitter and hitting the hashtag Georgia Texas. I found out that Georgia dominated this game.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah. Statistically, sure. Yeah, that's the crazy. Oh man, I'm gonna be thinking about this one all night, man.
I am too. This defense played outstanding. Hey, look here, man. This is another game where they only allowed 277 yards today, right? So another game of 300 yards or less, right? So yeah, this one's gonna hurt. It's gonna sting, man. It was there for us.
JM Clink may have a point in the chat.
Who's that?
JM Clink, Connor.
Yeah, but the weirdest part was y'all were slowing down right before half. And like, I was like, oh, we're getting some outside runs. I was like, maybe we'll be able to tire him down. And then something Kirby incredible in the locker room and whatever they said about like, our quarterback, you got to ride for him. Y'all came out crazy in the second half. Like, y'all looked like different. It was
we had a pharmaceutical intervention at halftime. Let's just say it now. Yeah. Since it's near the end of the show and we don't have any responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I thought was because they were getting tired towards the end. We were getting some runs. I was like, oh, the investment's working. Nope. Whatever that was, like rally for our second string, Georgia came out and they were looking high. And then they just shut down the run again.
Y'all thought Georgia's on speed was a comment on their traffic violations? I think it's literal. But no, honestly, I mean, props to Georgia. Except when they haven't, they've pulled out a bunch of games in the second half, and that shows some real resiliency.
Dude, yeah, they've been intense in the second half. That's why I knew,
except
man.
Except when they haven't.
Yeah.
I'll give them – Ole Miss the only time they haven't.
Yeah.
The Alabama game, that wins 99% of games. Nick or Nino, how about them dogs now? Where's the
– My boy, Surfer Boy.
when Carson went down, I had to ask God to forgive me for being excited. Carson is stressed dog nation like no other.
Surfer Boy's he's a friend of the channel, man. It's my dude. Man, that's funny as hell, man. Hey, you can't be praying on your starting quarterback's downfall, Surfer Boy.
So cool. I predicted it. I predicted a 24-23 Texas win.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the comments of like, blew that one.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. The game was pretty close.
Arian Smith can't even catch a speeding ticket.
And he got a Hellcat too. You know what I'm
saying? Oh, goodness.
Man. All right. Well, that was fun, guys. On to the playoffs. Got to do that. It will be interesting to see our seeding. When do we find that out? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
The CFP is currently deliberating and looking at all the data, Connor, and also talking to TV executives who are instructing them what to do.
Dude, what cracked me up is like they showed, you know, the picture of them watching the games. Yeah. And it's still so unscientific. Like there's multiple TVs. It's like, how do you know who's watching what at what? You get what I'm saying? Like it still cracks me up that it's just like a bunch of people in a room being like, that looks pretty good.
Just know that committee is comprised of college football and football's elite.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. Pretty brutal.
It's gonna be interesting.
No, that's all we've got an hour. We've been going for an hour, man. We do a post game hour. He cracks me up. I'm still lost. Earlier, he was like, "Who are these guys?" Then he gave us $100, and then he's like, "Wait, I don't even like this stream." Then he said, "We're funny," Man, I like you, dude. You are I can't read you, man.
I want to party with this guy.
Yeah.
That's how we get.
All right, guys. That was not a fun loss, but it is what it is. We'll survive, sleep on it. Yeah. I do want to thank Nick. I want to thank Paul. I want to thank Eric, even though he can't take the heat. I appreciate it, guys. And I also want to thank Academy. So this episode was brought to you by Academy. I really enjoyed it, even though it was a little bit of a bummer, guys. But
would you say the results of this game are academic at this point?
There we go.
Thank you.
All right. You guys go shop at Academy. They'll hook you up. It'll be good stuff. All right. Peace out, y'all.
See you.